Good evening and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Bible study in the book of 2 John. Tonight is study number 8, and we'll be reading 2 John verse 4, which says, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received the commandment from the Father. We discussed this verse in our previous study, and we saw that God rejoices that the children of the elect lady are walking in the truth of the Bible, that is, that they are giving evidence of a changed heart. And then in verse 5 of 2 John, it goes on to say, And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. There are two strong emphasis in this book, in this chapter of 2 John, and that is truth and love. And we've already seen that in the first few verses, God mentioned truth repeatedly. He also mentioned love in verse 3. And now, again, in verse 5, he speaks to the lady. It is the elder John, the Apostle John, who historically is writing this epistle, we think, and he's writing it to individuals who he believes are the elect that are alive upon the earth in his day. Yet, spiritually, it is God who is the Ancient of Days, the true elder that all elders typified, who is writing unto the body of believers, the elect. And God is saying, and now I beseech thee, lady. He's talking to the elect lady, and if we believe we're a child of God, we also believe we are elect, and therefore God is talking directly to us. And he says here, what does he beseech us? It goes on to say, I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. Now, this verse is packed with filler, really. All is scripture, all is important. But when we see the Lord open up the verse by saying, I beseech thee, lady, and then we're looking, what is he beseeching us? Really, there's a parenthetical thought that's in between the opening statement where God is beseeching and the ending statement of the verse, that we love one another. That is what the Lord is beseeching the elect to do, that we love one another. And in between those statements, we have this, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning. And really, by telling us this information, the Lord is letting us know that this is not groundbreaking commandment in any way, that this is not the first time he has given this commandment to his people. No, it's been given from the beginning. The command of God to love other believers, or actually other men, God commands mankind to love each other, is from the beginning. It did not originate even in the person of Christ during his years of earthly ministry. No, it did originate in Christ as he is the Word made flesh, and as God spoke the Word long ago. Yes, that was Christ, but we tend to read the gospel accounts and Christ speaks much of love, and the church picks up on this, and we fail to realize, Jesus really was not giving a new commandment at all when he said we were to love our neighbor. We can prove this if we turn back to Leviticus chapter 19 in the Old Testament and read verse 18. It says, Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am Jehovah. And that is in the law of God. God commanded, thou shalt love thy neighbor. And therefore, when Jesus would say, as he did in Matthew 22, I'm going to turn there quickly, in Matthew 22, in verse 35 through 39, when Christ was faced with a lawyer's question, it says, then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And I'll also read verse 40. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So the commandment of God to love himself, love God, and love our neighbor, they are given long ago. What we're reading in 2 John is nothing new at all. That God is telling us to love others, to love our fellow believer, that we love one another, to love our fellow man. That's not original. It is found throughout the Bible, throughout the scripture. God says all the law and the prophets hang on this particular commandment. And we can understand this once we understand the Bible's definition of love. And we're going to get into that shortly. Remember what Christ said in John 14 and verse 15. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And the same criteria exists for loving the brethren, for loving our neighbor. In 1 John chapter 5 and verses 1 through 3, it says there, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Now let's think about what God is saying to us here for a little bit before we move on. Christ said in John 14, 15, and it's also found in some other places, if you love me, keep my commandments. And so, in other words, if we think that we love Christ, the proof of that love is not that we praise Jesus, that we speak well of him, that we say we love him with our mouth, that if anyone asks us, oh, I love Jesus, I love him so much, and all kinds of people will believe that. Oh, that man, he loves Christ just to no end. Just listen to him. Hear how much he loves him. He says it every day, every time I'm with that man. He talks about loving Christ and praising God. And it is just so wonderful to see someone who loves Jesus so dearly. Well, it may be that person does love Christ dearly. However, the man's words are not the proof of it. And we know this is true because we have a church today, a church, a corporate body that numbers in the hundreds of millions, about 2 billion, and many of them, if you speak to them, would likewise say they love Jesus, and they belong to churches that do not obey Jesus. They belong to churches and congregations that do not the will of Christ. They fail to obey him concerning salvation. Jesus says in the Word of God that God is the Savior, that he will have mercy upon whom he will have mercy. And multitudes in the churches say, oh no, you can have a role You can play your part. You can accept Christ. You can determine today if you'll choose him and become saved. Well, Jesus says, keep Sunday as my holy day. Don't seek your own pleasure on that day, and so on. And the church today says, oh, don't worry about it. If you want to go to the game, if you want to cut your grass, if you have to work, don't worry about any of that. We can't be legalistic after all. God understands. Well, that's not what the Bible says. Or the Bible says, Christ says, deacons and elders are to meet certain qualifications. They're to be the husband of one wife. They are to raise their children well, and so on. And the church says, oh, don't worry about that if you're a single man and you have no wife. Don't concern yourself. We don't want to ruin you. And if you have no children, that's all right. We're just looking for a faithful man. And yes, it says the husband of one wife and not the wife of one husband. Yes, it's true. All the qualifications apply to a man only. But after all, we're living in a modern world, and we have to keep up to date. So it's okay if a woman's a deacon or a woman's an elder, or even if a woman's a pastor. And on and on and on and on it goes with scripture after scripture, doctrine after doctrine. The church mouths the words, we love you, God, we love you, Jesus. And at just about every opportunity to demonstrate that love in a actual way by keeping his commandments, the church denies him. It rebels against him. It does not do the will of God in any way. Obviously, according to the Bible, therefore, the people in the churches today, and especially the leadership of the churches and congregations, do not love Christ. What would that mean? That would mean that God did not first love them. Because the only way anyone can possibly respond in love to God is if he first loved us, according to 1 John chapter 4. And therefore, we have churches filled. If those churches happen to be filled with individuals, we have congregation after congregation filled with professing Christians that mouth words that speak well of God, and in reality, they do not love him at all because he did not love them at all to begin with. And this is the sorrowful, tragic experience of the churches and congregations of the world in our present day. They are not truly the people of God. They are no longer his representatives. They do not represent the kingdom of God upon earth any longer. God has given them up and judged them and completed the judgment, and it is done. He will not look back towards them, just as he finished the judgment on Israel long ago. Well, now the judgment is finished on the church. Well, let's continue on in our study of 2 John and look at verse 6. And it's again mentioning love. And it says, and this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. Well, that's another theme of this epistle, is walking in truth, walking in the commandment, which are synonymous statements. They're one and the same, as thy word is truth, and God's word is his commandment to mankind. The Bible is a law book from front to end. It is full of commandments. And so here again, God is defining love for us. This is love, that we walk after his commandments. We saw when Jesus said in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. We saw to love our neighbor, to love the brethren, that God also said in 1 John 5, verse 2, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. There is a relationship. When we love Christ, we love God, we desire to do the will of God, which is only possible because he has saved us and given us a new heart that seeks to do his will. And since that heart is without sin, it can, in fact, do the will of God. And this is the desire of the believer. And in fulfilling our love to Christ by keeping his commandments, we are at the very same time fulfilling our obligation to our fellow man to love him. And of course, we can see how this would be. God says to the husband, love your wife, raise your children in fear and admonition of the Lord, love thy neighbor. These are the commandments. They all involve treating people in a good and kind and gentle way, in a loving way, in wanting the best for them, in desiring salvation for them also. It's all part of the law of God, and we don't have to wonder, how can we love anyone? You know, the world is quite confused about love. The definition of the world is that love is a feeling. It's a strong emotion. It's something that brings a sparkle to your eye. When you meet a woman, you fall in love. Why? You just feel so wonderful. You have that sparkle in your eye, and you love her with strong feeling. The emphasis is on feeling, how you feel about that woman, how she makes you feel, or turn it the other way around, how he makes you feel. It's all starry-eyed type love. It's a love that affects how you feel, your senses in that way. You're attracted to the individual. But it's not the Bible's definition of love. No, the Bible's definition is quite different than the world's definition. The Bible defines love as action in keeping the commandments of God. And those commandments will result in treating people very well and kindly and so on. But the world's definition is all about feelings. And this is why that when the feeling leaves, when the honeymoon is over, as the expression goes, so often today, so does the man leave, or so does the woman leave. Why would they leave after a year or 5 or 10 or 20? Why would they leave? Well, they would ask them and they would tell you, the love is gone. The love is just left our relationship. Really? And you did love them before? Oh, I loved them so much at the beginning. Oh, I felt this way about them. Oh, I really had strong feelings. And now I just don't feel that same way anymore. And the feeling goes, the love goes. And of course, it's a very rare marriage or relationship where the feeling, that intense physical attraction and just being attracted on other levels, that strong feeling, it's very rare if that stays at a consistent basis throughout the length of a marriage. Of course it doesn't. The feelings go up and the feelings go down. And maybe for quite a period of time, the feelings aren't there. But does that mean that now there's no love? Well, by the world's definition, yes. And the world recognizes this and the world supports people. Oh, you better get out of that loveless marriage and get a divorce. But of course, God doesn't know anything about that. Well, he's fully aware of feelings. He is able to emote. God is the one who gave man feelings. But as far as love being defined by feelings, God doesn't know anything about that. No, love is when the husband says to the wife that he will marry her and stay with her for better or for worse till death do us part. And so love is maintaining the marriage in sickness and in health, in the face of strong attractiveness and strong emotion and desirous feelings, and in the face of losing attraction and losing that great desire and or the strong feelings. And it is just maintaining the marriage and doing the will of God. As God says to husbands, love your wives. And remember how Christ loved his wife, the whole company of the elect. And so forgive your wife if she does wrong. Be not bitter against her. Have compassion towards her as I have had compassion towards you. Be an example of myself towards her in that relationship. And to the wife, God says, submit yourself to your husband. Yes, you may not feel the same way, but treat him in the way that the body of believers should treat Christ, in humility, in a submissive way. Allow him to be the head of the home, and so on. And so the wife submits if she's a true believer. The husband loves his wife. He reads her the Bible. He prays for her. He tries to do what he can to be kind to her, and so on, out of a desire to do the will of God. And this should never end. It's not based on feelings. And so the wife can have confidence. Oh, my husband loves me. And it's not because he feels a certain way to me or he's attracted to me. And therefore, if he loses that feeling, or if I put on a few pounds and he loses the attraction, that then I have to worry. No, he loves me because he's doing things God's way. And so the wife has a sense of security. And that is how God has established things. The Bible, or God's love, is superior, greatly superior, tremendously superior to the world's love. Just look at the Lord Jesus Christ when he entered into the world to do the will of his Father. Did he show forth love to the Father by being obedient in keeping the Father's commandments when he enters into the Garden of Gethsemane? And how beautiful it was when he went and besought the Father that the cup might pass from him. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. What a great demonstration of love. Has anyone ever showed love more than Christ? And it was all action. It was all the performing of the doing of the will of God. Love is not word. Love is not a feeling. Love is action in obedient response to God's commandments.